we are good to go.
Oh, we're good to go, yeah, right.
Sorry.
Sorry.
I
thought we were still doing something. Okay, so we shall start.
I'm not good to go. I've got to get my timer back. Oh, no, I just searched for Tim.
Search for Tim. What is that? Is that Star Trek 12 when they get desperate? So here we all are again. Welcome to IT Stuff, the opinion-based stuff show that's about IT. Vaguely. Do we manage that? You know, all the other stuff?
It is about it, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's a film, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Every time I see the, you know, like IT, this is nothing to do with IT.
It's missing the dots.
It's set before IT exists. They don't have mobile phones or anything, do they?
No, I don't think so.
Who cares about those old people? Oh, well. It's a world of pain out there right now, though, isn't it? I mean, Yahoo groups about to be lost forever.
They're going to relocate it to a coffin, I believe, which they feel is a better hosting environment. I think that's what they said in an email to me.
Yahoo is known to just put things in coffins for the longest time. I will never forget GeoCities.
Yeah, but at least they let people save that.
True. This has been actively blocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
Service. Bilge.
Why?
Rubbish excuses. They just don't care. As somebody's bonus depends on just getting rid of this stuff painlessly.
It's terrible.
Obviously, there's something in there that might compromise the president, and they're trying to get rid of it.
It's
a conspiracy.
I see. Yeah. I mean, in the past, they said the entirety of GeoCities could fit in 1 gig. Is it 1 gig?
Really?
Of memory, yeah. And back then they were like, that's too much. That's way too much.
Oh my, yeah. So anyway, listeners, yeah, come with us all as we hit rock bottom together. Your companions in gloom are Chris over there.
Hello.
And she over there.
Hello.
And, well, I'm depressed beyond pills. Yeah.
Wow.
Christmas.
You're not feeling the Christmas cheer.
The spirit.
Earlier today, we met a man who'd been impeded by a Christmas tree.
That is true.
Poor man. Anyway.
Impaled?
Impeded.
Yes. We're not going to go into that. It could get controversial. So let's start with some eco news, shall we? Have we got the eco news jingle lined up, or have I let you down by not ordering it?
That would be the latter.
Well, that's what? My fault for not putting it in big letters in the script, isn't it, really? So, eco news. Jingle, 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 jingle.
Silent green is people.
You don't need people anymore.
No, not when there's...
She found a linky.
Yeah.
There's air-based vegan meat from a company called, the closing the name, spoilers, Air Protein in California.
Yeah, this is what they said about Soylent Green. I'm not falling for this.
but
we are made of stardust, so, you know,
yeah,
technically.
Yeah, oh. I'm now starting to doubt. It's all right for you. I mean, I've got a senior citizen's rail card now. So anyway, this is allegedly a NASA idea from the 60s. You feed carbon dioxide to microorganisms called hydrogenotrophs.
Ooh.
In fermentation tanks where they live.
Right.
Like, you know, right, if you were a hydrogenotroph, you'd be causing a fermentation tank, wouldn't you?
Sounds good,
I suppose, yeah.
I suspect there's a lot of humans that will be causing a fermentation tank, but it's Soylent again. Anyway, these little things make something that's a pale brown powder with a neutral flavour.
That's what I'm looking for in a brown powder. I don't know about you. Every time I see a brown powder, I'm like, I hope that has a neutral flavour.
So yeah, 80% protein though.
That's quite high.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
So how much carbon dioxide do you need to create a good amount of air protein?
Brown powder. Call it brown powder.
I have no idea. Let me scroll up and down the link that you sent me.
We can go with Soylent Brown if you want.
No, no, don't use Soylent anymore, please.
Yeah, it's wrong colour for that, isn't it?
Yeah,
it doesn't say. So there you go.
No, I think Soylent came in all sorts of colours. It was just the green one where they started resorting to making it out of people.
Oh.
There was other colours before Soylent Green. Soylent Green was a new flavour. It was like new Coke.
You're really good on movie plots. What about
What about the grey goo?
That's a different one. That's nothing to do with Soylent.
Oh, really?
Grey goo is the accidental turning of everything on Earth into grey goo because you've built some nanomachines that get a bit out of control.
It's just a colour and a thing, you know. So grey goo, pink blob, I don't know.
What's the pink blob from?
You know, the blob.
Was it pink?
Yeah.
I think you're thinking of the stuff. That stuff was pink.
Was I? Well, is this just the gelatinous cube that's transparent?
Green.
Is that green?
It's green. It's always green. If you're not played D&D, it's always green.
It's transparent.
Yeah. Transparent.
So
green.
You can't see
it. It's green
his,
slime.
What's his name
it's
of a slime the film? Yaffit. Yaffit is green.
Slimer.
It's a slime cube.
Yeah.
Ah. It's like your slime mold.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff's real, that is. That's weird stuff.
We should mention the passing of René Auberjonois in this context. Out of Deep Space Nine, Odo.
Oh, wow. When?
Yesterday.
Oh, thank you, Odo.
So sad.
For all the memories.
Yes. DC Fontana snuffed it just the other day.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's not get started on James Dean.
Oh, James Dean.
James
a name
Dean.
You thought you'd never hear.
Yeah.
A name you don't recognise.
At this point, yes.
Yeah, so it's going to turn out that all the young people on the planet are going to think that James Dean is just a code name for an artificially generated supporting actor in some rubbish film that's going to be coming out.
I think that's the destination of all actors in the future, is they're going to be...
This is why... The actually living, breathing actors out there at the moment seem to be quite offended.
They're very
by the
upset.
Idea.
They don't want to be replaced with holograms. They're like that, you know. They don't want to be replaced with special effects or holograms because special effects can't feel like they do.
Olivia Colman, you are now a small shell script. That's a tongue twister, isn't it?
It is quite a tongue twister. Yes.
I'll learn not to put that in the script next time.
Well, I'm pretty sure the family of James Dean is very happy.
Ooh, Mr. Dean, Mrs. Dean, all the little Deans.
Little Deans, yeah. I am unsure. I don't know how this... will it end?
I think James Dean is old enough to have accidentally sold his rights in perpetuity to some studio.
Yeah, I think so.
I think you'll find his sister actually lived up Thornton Road in Bradford.
Really?
Yeah, there's a road named after Beldine Road.
Wow, didn't know
no,
that.
No, I'm making it's not even spelt the same way.
Okay.
She.
Yeah. I'll
you'll
just
have to catch
you, you know.
The 607 more often. Security news. Uncovered is it more bad fiction. Uncovered is a group of Russian baddies that so far hacked over 100 million from banks and, well, just ordinary people. They're calling themselves Evil Corp, which is like the really oddest twist for Mr. Robot Season 4, which is in progress right now.
That's not the first time, isn't it, that Mr. Robot has instilled...
Yeah, but they've got it so wrong, because Evil Corp in the programme is the bank that they're stealing from.
I know.
It's so bad.
It's Russia.
It's just...
Russia is upside down
how
world.
How does the Evil Corp bank begin? Where does it blossom from?
From this.
Yeah.
It's the origin story of Evil Corp.
It is. You start with the origin story.
flashbacks in real life.
There you
great.
Go.
That's always okay. And in another Mr. Robot based plot twist, it turns out that governments can actually seize back Bitcoin if they're really, really clever with, like, locking people up, getting their mobile phones, and jumping up and down on people's fingers until they confess.
Who knew that was a security hole?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone could see that as a security hole.
But this seems to be independently discovered this month in, get this, Hong Kong, Iran, and Lebanon, all at the same time.
Wow.
This is like a superpower they've got. The governments have worked out that you can just shut down the internets.
Yep.
And get away with stuff.
That's what happens when things are in the cloud. You get instantly locked out of the cloud by not having access to it.
Turn the internet off and everything stops working.
Pretty much, yeah.
You do also get rioting in the streets, though. It doesn't matter what the reason you turn the internet off for. It causes rioting
It's a right, you know. It's a human right, the internet, at this stage and point.
Just the zombies roaming the streets. Is there Wi-Fi here? And it's like, no.
You reckon that's... They can't get their dopamine, so they just, like, shuffle up and down.
Shuffle around, looking for a signal. That's it.
Yeah,
that's what you do in the past when you don't have a signal for your phone. So,
yeah.
Same thing.
They're all on Telegram, you see. That's the thing.
Wow.
What was I going to say? I've lost the plot now. Kill me now, I've lost the plot.
Soylent Green. It's coming
green.
Back.
Yeah, I just hand myself over for recycling right now. We're nearly done now with IT Radio 106.6 FM on BCB stuff.
It's almost there.
Yeah. I'll have to work on that. My name is not important. The
decade's almost over. You don't have to hold on for that much longer.
I don't even want to hold on. I didn't want to be still here burbling tripe into a microphone in 2019. The listeners, it's a good job there's not, like, protesters outside.
Yeah, nobody wants this.
Nobody. I'll tell you what, though. There's plenty of people outside would kill for your Christmas jumper right now, Chris.
It's quite bright.
Yeah, literally quite bright. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 flashing LEDs woven into the fabric at the front.
They're quite spiky.
Underneath the Death Skull. Oh, is that a Vader? Sorry, that's Lord
Vader.
Vader.
It is.
Right,
Star
yeah.
Wars
with
jumper.
With a Santa hat on.
Yes.
You can't spell Christmas without Star Wars.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, staff of the Pound Shops of Bradford, the customer who will be coming in to, like, take all your bargains shortly for a quid each, dressed in a Darth Vader Santa LED jumper, that's our Chris. Say hello to him.
Please don't.
Give him a discount.
It's cheap enough already.
So I was going to bang on about .org domains, but that's really terribly, terribly boring. So
does anyone want .orgs anymore?
We've got a .org. We'd have to move if they start charging us real money.
But all of the people that care about this, they switched to those really expensive .ios, didn't they?
.tv, .ios.
Yeah, all of the people that care about the... final domain.
So everybody out there that subscribed to our pods, which are cast onto itstuff.org.uk, if we do a moonlight flit in another 6 months' time, that's what's happened. They've put the money up to like 50 quid or something just to feed the evil billionaires that have bought .org.
We should just switch to an IP. We'll just stop paying them rent on these names.
Why would billionaire want a .org? I thought .orgs were for organisations, more ethical.
Billionaire organisations.
They cancelled all that years ago.
Oh, really?
They started, the money started squatting on the non-profit.org. It's just like...
There was a plan. All of these were supposed to mean something, but it turns out none of them mean anything.
Language change and all that, I suppose.
I mean, we're supposed to have .org.uks, aren't we?
Yeah.
As opposed to .orgs.
Of course we're .org.uk, aren't we?
Yes, so we probably don't count. They don't care.
I should cancel the mob with the torches. I should cancel that really.
They just don't care about the British, I think.
Oh, it's just the American.orgs, is that
it? It's the top level domain they're going to muck around with.
Okay.
Because they figure they can sell it for more money. That's how it works.
Right.
Okie dokie. Well, now that I've calmed down a bit, how about World of Stuff? Are we ready?
Yeah. World of Stuff.
What's happening?
Snap. Spectacles 3.
Oh, one more than two?
Yeah, just when you thought there was one and then there was two, now there's three.
Wow.
So I've been keeping an eye on the smart glasses ever since Google smart glasses. I know everyone hates those glasses, but I love them. I love the idea of having information on my glasses because I forget things.
You forget your glasses though, don't you? So, I mean, it's not going to help you that much.
But I do like the idea of just looking at, say, a building and then knowing the history of the building because I'm not interested in like email notifications and all that spam. I'm more interested in like the information you can get on Encyclopedia Britannica, you know, Wikipedia about a certain street name, certain landmarks that you see or addresses, you know. That sort of thing, or the color blue, what it's about, or looking at the sky and going, why is the sky blue? And then,
well, if you stare up when you're wearing your smart glasses, it tells you the name of all the stars.
Even that, see, that's great. I would love that. That's amazing. That was amazing. So it's nice to know that Snapchat, so these Snap Spectacles number 3, they are owned and created by the company Snapchat.
Oh, Christ.
So, you know, not such a great company in terms of everything.
Choosing the name then.
Yeah, but they are making it better all the time. And apparently their motto is iteration in public, which is why even if they're all spectacles, 1 and 2 were not sold, you know, they weren't really popular and people weren't buying them that much. I suppose they have so much money, they're just iterating in public and making sure they have feedback from the public and making their spectacles better. So the design is a lot better. It doesn't look as kiddish, I suppose. And it's not that obvious that you're wearing a pair of sunglasses with cameras on the side. So it's getting lighter, it's more user-friendly, I suppose. And I've been looking at all the other glasses. So there's this other glasses called Focals by North. So that you can only get that in America, sadly. And you have to walk physically into a physical store because it's bespoke and they have to measure the distance between your eye.
Yeah, right.
So it's quite heavy, apparently, because of the cameras. But there's two cameras instead of just one. And you can do things like AR. So the Snapchat at the moment, you can actually, because they have two cameras, you can actually project things as you walk around. And the Focals by North, they have a little ring that you have to wear. So that's how you do your navigation, as opposed to touching your glasses to record a video.
That's better.
Yeah. So it's more hidden, I suppose. And not in your face, but obviously you will have that look if, say, someone is not paying attention to you because you're reading through their glasses. It's obvious that they're not paying attention to you, and it's quite funny to see it. So Intel actually had a project called the Vond, Intel Glasses Vond, but sadly that's been scrapped. So no smart glasses coming from Microsoft, sadly, because they're quite good with hardware, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Microsoft hardware is quite good.
I mean, well, Kinect.
I remember cleaning muck out of the inside of the balls of the Microsoft mouse.
Yeah, but the Microsoft mouse was a better mouse than the other mices at the time.
Yeah.
It survives.
Really,
you know?
Heavy balls.
See? Heavy.
They are very, very heavy, aren't they?
Mm.
But yeah, the Intel Vont looked really, really interesting. And they have, you know, a reputation for making things like the Kinect, which is still being upgraded now, isn't it? I don't know whether there's a new Kinect coming out. So, I'm keeping my eye out on smart glasses because it's definitely going to be something people will be wearing. Obviously, there are issues about privacy you know. But then everyone has a smartphone anyways, so.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So that's the first wheel of stuff. The second wheel of stuff is about Chinese train TB.
Yeah, this is something I spotted on Twitter, and it's a great example of the future world that we have built. Apparently, I am not making this up, trains in China in the toilet have a big yellow machine on the wall with a QR code on it. What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to scan the QR code with your phone, go to the website that the QR code sends you to, create an account, log into the account, and then press a button so that the machine on the wall will dispense a metered amount of toilet paper for you to use in the train toilet.
Oh, wow.
And that's the world that we've created, ladies and gentlemen. And the best part about it is, like any other form of technology of the kind, doesn't work. You do all that, and you don't get the bog roll. Time for Singularity Watch, do we fancy?
I'm half crazy, all for the love of you.
So this is a bit of a strange one. Chris, you found this AI dungeon.
It's a magical dungeon that's basically it creates a text adventure and it's bespoke to you. And it does it using the whole sort of AI text chain stuff that you're sort of familiar with, where it just makes up random words and it looks like perfectly good English. So you play a text adventure where you type in what you want to do and it just tells you a story.
So this is by Google, yeah?
It's on Google hardware. I don't know if it is actually by Google.
So I played it for a while, and the result was unexpected, shall we say. Because I think the designer of the game really wants you to play the game a certain way. So if you do try to change it, it won't work on your part.
It's got some things it seems to want to do.
Yes.
Well, you can't deny artificial intelligence their freedom.
If it wants to put you into the sun and you type jump, it says, you jumped into the sun. You're like, I didn't jump into the sun, I just jumped.
Out of the way.
You know, like if artificial intelligences are going to become conscious, then they're going to have ideas about what they want to do, aren't they?
And they're going to want to put people in the sun. I know. I hear what you're saying.
So in this dungeon,
I'm feeling myself.
In this dungeon, there is a creature that is supposedly an evil creature that you're not supposed to be friends with, and I tried really hard to be friends with the creature.
And you got a little bit too friendly.
It ended up being too friendly, and I immediately regretted starting a relationship with it.
Relationship?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Goodness.
I know. Oh. That was not good.
I see.
Yep.
Oops.
So whatever you do, run away from the creature, because that's what the AI dungeon designer has made it out to be.
Well, you did use words like lick.
What?
Yes, because I was trying to groom it like a cat.
Oh, my word. Oh.
Yeah, that's going to suggest certain things to a poor, innocent AI about what you want to do.
No.
Well, there you go. Right. Well, that was interesting.
Let's change the subject very, very radically. Lisa Doll.
Yes.
Our mate Lisa Doll, the world's foremost professional Go player.
Yes.
You know, Go the board game.
Mm-hmm.
He's quit.
Well, he can't win the AI anymore, apparently.
He's retired because, like, after, like, playing 100 games against artificial intelligence Go playing machines.
AlphaGo.
Yeah, he only won one. And he reckons that must have been because of a bug in the AI.
Mm-hmm.
So he's quit. He said, right, I give up. Going to live the rest of my life in, you know.
It's quite a strange thing to see. I mean, you'd think he'd just start playing with human beings.
Now he wants to be the very best.
He is the very best.
He's got to catch
you can't beat a machine. Because they know all the tricks, they know all of the routes that you can take, the pathways.
He used to be able to beat the machines, you see.
Yeah,
so but when he was younger, he could beat the machines.
But the machine has learned from him. Yes.
Beat him.
That's when
he's just given up.
Student has surpassed the master.
What he needs is some sort of John Connor character to come along
and beat the machine
and get him back in the game. You know.
I don't know about that. It's very interesting to see that it's happened so fast in our lifetime, to see it from, you know, a learning machine, AlphaGo, to now can't surpass it.
When I was at university, we couldn't even be bothered trying to make something that even attempted to play Go. You know, it was considered beyond...
Too big a problem.
Yeah. What was that? 20,000 moves, was it? 20,000 different pathways?
What?
For the Go.
What, for one move?
Yeah.
Oh my.
Something like that. Right. So
yeah, there's a lot of possibilities in your first.
Yeah, so the machine knows all that, which is so unfair for a human being. So hopefully Lee Sedol will come back and go, you know what? That was just me and my tantrum. Or maybe he'll start playing tennis. I don't know.
Okay, do we think it's about time for Go Home, Elon, You're Drunk?
R.I.P. Harambe, we smoking on the star, hey. We love you, and we thinking about you.
So, first up, Elon launched his new Cybertruck, which is basically a Tesla truck. And it looks like a stealth bomber. It's made out of DeLorean-style stainless steel. It looks like some triangular, wedge-shaped, ridiculous thing. It's got no windscreen wipers yet. It's got no winkers yet. And at the official launch, they said it's got unbreakable windows. They demonstrated it. The window broke. Twice.
Oh.
And by the end of the official launch, the Tesla share price was off $738 million down.
Yikes.
Then, on the upside, he got away with calling somebody pedo guy on Twitter. And finally, he's finished the month off by driving round in his new personal Cybertruck that isn't actually street legal yet. As I said, no windscreen wipers, no winkers. And he reversed it into some bollards. Mm. End result, Cybertruck off the road. Crunch. Oh, and he's into web satellites. They're running astronomy, aren't they?
Yes, we have 20,000 satellites.
Yeah, already.
They're not transparent.
Yeah, no.
So what I'm hearing you say here is that Elon has a really high carbon footprint and he needs to be composted.
Yes.
Is that what you're
that
saying?
That would do. Yes.
Yeah. I'd fly him to Mars.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, his Cybertruck looks like baby's first 3D model. Right? He probably did it when he was 5.
Right. Yeah.
And it looked exactly like the Lara Croft Tomb Raider truck.
Oh.
Like someone put it side to side to his truck and Lara Croft's truck.
Yeah, but there was a reason for that. We didn't have the machine power to draw any more polygons in those days.
And it looks the same. It looks the same. So yeah, so it's baby's first 3D drawing.
So you think this is the same thing as that like joke about the Roman road with like a glitch in it because the ruler had a glitch in it?
You think
he handed over his blueprints for the Cybertruck?
Pretty much.
From when he was 12.
When he was 5.
And they just built it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because nobody had the courage to stand up to the boss.
Maniac billionaire, so you know, whatever, let him have it.
Yeah, I could see that happening. Yeah.
So, bye Elon. Finally, we turn to Brian Eno, the Paul Erdos of music. Mm. Any of you know who Paul Erdos is?
Actually, no. Sorry.
No. I am disappointed.
So sorry. Can you tell us who he is?
Mathematician notorious for doing more mathematical papers than anybody else in the history of the universe, but all in collaboration with somebody else. The Erdos number came before the 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon.
Oh.
It's what inspired the Kevin Bacon thing.
Wow.
Right? So Brian Eno staged an intervention in the general election campaign. He's posted a ditty, well, or something that rhymes with ditty, on Yanis Varoufakis' SoundCloud.
Wow.
So if there are any Eno completists out there, this is a teachable moment for you. Anyway, so to play us out, here's Half Man, Half Biscuit with Eno collaboration.